Isn't that a blessing? On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I do want to extend a hearty welcome and greeting to everyone. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming. Home folks, visitors, let's worship the Lord together. I want to read a verse before we have a word of prayer. Romans 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, unto the Jew first and also to the Greek." That's my key verse today, and we're going to see if we can get a better understanding of that. Why don't we kneel for a word of prayer? Father, in chart in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, Lord. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, we just thank you for this gathering of believers. Pray you would help us to gain a better understanding of your word today. Help us that we could not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Help us, Lord, in this adulterous and sinful generation where there is evil and sin on every hand, that we could not be ashamed of your word. Oh God, we need your Holy Spirit. We need your help, Lord. Oh God, we are weak, but you are strong. Help us that we could speak out and not be ashamed to speak. Help us to speak with love and kindness. Help us that we could be open to each other. Lord, help us that we would not be ashamed to speak to our brothers. There's something that we see their life, Lord. Please help us that we could follow your word. We just pray you'd feed your people, Lord, today and bless your inheritance. We look to you today for food from heaven. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I'm not ashamed. Those are the words of Apostle Paul as he bears his heart to the Romans. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And that's what's burning on my heart, that we could, with God's help, put the shame behind us and be bold for the Lord. Give a little outline of the message. I want to look at some definitions of the word ashamed. Number one, I want to look at what causes someone to be ashamed. Number two, Bible examples of people that were ashamed. Number three, Bible examples of not being ashamed. Number four, being bold and not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number five is living unashamedly for Christ and trying to get some practical application for us. So in this introduction, something that stuck out to me as I was studying is it seems like there's a direct connection between being ashamed and sin. And being ashamed and doing wrong. It seemed I saw that thread throughout the scripture. And we'll look at the first example a little later on here. But then there's a connection between being bold and doing what's right. A condition in your heart. When you follow God and do what's right, there's a confidence that He gives you to go forward. Why don't you all turn over to Matthew 13? There's just a little scripture here I want to look at. I really appreciated the opening and children's lesson. It was just wonderful food. It was such a blessing. And the brother talked about this, what did he call it? Pearl of great price? Matthew 13, 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Have you found that treasure? Have you found that treasure that takes the shame away and gives you boldness? Let's look at a few definitions of this word. I like the 1828 Webster's. It seems to give good definitions. The definition of ashamed is to blush. Affected by shame, abashed or confused by guilt or a conviction of the same of some criminal action or indecorous conduct, or by the exposure of some gross errors or misconduct, which the person is conscious must be wrong, and which tends to impair his honor or reputation. Number two, confused by a consciousness of guilt or of inferiority, by the mortification of pride, by failure or disappointment. We're going to get talking a little more about that. I also looked up the definition of the word shame. It seems like shame and ashamed are fairly closely connected. Shame is a painful sensation excited by a consciousness of guilt or having done something which injures reputation, or by the exposure of which nature or modesty prompts us to conceal. Shame is particularly excited by the disclosure of actions which, in the view of men, are mean and degrading. Hence, it is often or always manifested by a downcast look or by blushes, called confusion of face. Number two, the cause or reason of shame, that which brings reproach and degrades a person in the estimation of others. Shame. Ashamed. I looked up the word blush, what blush means. It pretty much brings the same meaning as to be ashamed. But have you ever been in a situation where something was extremely embarrassing or whatever, and you felt that hot flash coming in your face, and you just wish you could vanish out of the picture? You know, that's a good picture of shame, when something takes place in your life that you just regret so bad and you wish it wouldn't have happened. It was interesting that the word blush actually stems from some of the roots of the word flash, or, you know, basically redness in your face. So hopefully that gives us a little idea. Number one, what causes someone to be ashamed? I was just thinking, what brings this about? When you have done something wrong and you feel a sense of guilt or conviction that what you did is wrong, that brings shame. When someone says something very strongly in a convincing way and later is proven to be wrong, brings a sense of shame. If a person is proud or boastful about his abilities and how he can do something better than anyone else, and then someone else beats him, the mortification of pride by failure or disappointment. I'm sure each one of us have sometime or another experienced that. If someone professes to be a Christian, yet his life and conduct does not show the character of such, he brings shame to the name of Christ. God help us that we could live a life that we would bring glory to Him, not shame. When someone who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but his actions, his conduct, his life or lifestyle brings disgrace, shame or reproach, and degrades the name of Christ in the estimation of others. Psalm 25:1 says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause." Psalm 119:78, "Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts." Psalm 12, verse 4, or sorry, Proverbs 12:4. "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." Isaiah 45:16, "They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end." Isn't that a blessing? If we serve the Lord, we don't have to be ashamed. World without end, forever. We can have confidence in our God. I really appreciated the brother this morning, Brother John, speaking about God's word does not change. And how we can have an anchor in this changing generation when don't know where things are going to end up, but we can have an anchor. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 2:26, "As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed for turning away from God." 1 Peter 3:16, "They may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." So let's sum this all up. What are things that cause shame? Wrongdoing, pride, if you're proven incorrect, if your walk doesn't match your talk, those who transgress, a woman that's not under her husband, people who make idols, a thief, falsely accuse a Christian, a true Christian. Someone does that, they're in for some shame. Psalm 70, verse 2, "Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and brought to confusion that desire my hurt." Let's go to point 2, Bible examples of people being ashamed. Why don't you turn over with me to Judges chapter 3. I'm going to take some looks at some very interesting stories. Some of them are a bit humorous, but nevertheless, it happened. Judges chapter 3. Here we have this man called Eglon, king of Moab. And I don't think I'm going to read the whole everything, but here we have, starting in verse 14, "So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer, Ehud the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. And the story gets a little bit hair-raising, as you've probably read. So I'm not going to read everything, but you can read it for yourself. But Ehud comes here, he offers this present, king of Moab, and then he returns back and comes again and says, I have a secret errand to thee, O king. All the men went out. He ends up, you know, doing away with Eglon. And then he locks the doors and quickly leaves and escapes. And all of Eglon's servants were wondering, why in the world is he staying so long in this summer chamber? And they tarried around till they were ashamed of themselves. Then they go in and they find he was dead. So here we have an example of these men that were ashamed. Let's turn over to 2 Samuel. I'm trying to paint in our minds a picture of the feeling of being ashamed and see how we can apply this to our lives. 2 Samuel chapter 10. Here we have a very interesting story about some beard trimming. And these servants of David were wanting to show their kindness to Hanan. Let me read here. 2 Samuel 10, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanan his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanan the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanan their lord, Thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he has sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city, to spy it out, to overthrow it? Wherefore Hanan took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. And when it was told David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, Tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, then return. Here we have a very interesting story. As you can put yourself in these men's shoes, just imagine coming and trying to do a good deed and show your comfort to this man. And here they come out there and they just... they don't kill you, but they really embarrass you. And I can hardly imagine the feeling of being ashamed that bad. But that's a major example of being ashamed. And it appears like in the culture back then, beards were a very important thing. And so they actually tarried at another place to let their beards grow out because it was such a shame to go back home like that. Very interesting. Turn over to 2 Kings actually I'm just going to skip that I'll just say that to you in 2 Kings 2:17 and 8:11 it talks about Elisha being ashamed. They urged him till he was ashamed. Let's turn now over to Ezra, chapter 9, give another example. Here we have Ezra, a man of God, that feels the burden and the weight of the sin of his people. Ezra chapter 9, I'm going to read About six verses here. Verse 1, now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Moabites. No, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of their lands, of these lands, those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass. When I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished. Then were gathered, assembled unto me, everyone that trembled at the words of God, the God of Israel, because of the transgression of those who had been carried away. And I sat down astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at evening sacrifice I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell down upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God and said, O my God, I am ashamed, and I blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up to the heavens. I think we need more of that. For we get a burden for sin. Cry out to God. Ezra, he cries out to the Lord, and God works a revival. He realized the sin and was ashamed about it. God worked a great revival, and they ended up putting away the strange wives and cleaning their lives up and turning their hearts to the Lord. What a blessing. Praise God. We have another example. I won't turn there, but Ezekiel 16 talks about Israel being ashamed because of turning away from God. It seems like we talked about before, that when there's wrongdoing, when there's sin involved, that's when shame comes in. I'll tell you a little story that happened about 12 years ago. Some years ago, we, back there in Coshocton County, tended to drive a little too fast on the back roads, and I just got married and lived 5 miles away, and so went back and forth to work. And anyway, we were facing our first miscarriage, and so I was pretty heavy heart about that. And coming home the evening about 5 o'clock, and I was in our little blue car, and I crested the top of this hill on one of our gravel roads and met this fella right on top of the hill. And anyway, I heard this gravel skidding and wondered what was happening. And about a mile later down the road, I looked behind me in my rearview mirror and hear this fella come barreling up behind me. And so I just pull over, and he pulls over and blocks the road and comes just storming out as mad as a hornet and starts cursing me and chewing me out for almost running him off the road. And I was just, what do you do? Started apologizing, and he just keeps yelling and hollering at me, and he reaches in the window and grabs me by my shirt and starts shaking me and pointing at me and telling me if this ever happens again, he's going to pull me out, whip me good and proper. And I was shaking in my shoes. And like Nebuchadnezzar, your knees start smiting together. And I went home. It was about 5:30. And, of course, my wife was starting with her miscarriage and felt like the world was falling in on me. I just remember just breaking down and crying and, oh, God, I'm so ashamed of being a bad testimony. I just remember the next few days was just, I don't know, it was just a grief to my heart that I was such a bad testimony for Jesus. But I look from that point as being a turning point in my life, that God used that person to do a work, to change my way of driving. And thank God for that. I felt some very deep shame, but God used it for a good purpose. Thank God. Okay, let's turn over and let's look at point number three, Bible examples of not being ashamed. If I'd ask who can think of the first example, it's actually the first usage of the word ashamed in the Bible. I can't help but think of the first time it appears, the first couple in the world in the Garden of Eden. I'm not going to tell you the details, but they were not ashamed. Praise God. They were not ashamed. There was no sin. As soon as sin came, shame came. Isn't that something? As soon as sin entered the world, that's when shame came. Isn't that eye-opening? Whenever sin is committed, shame comes along with it. Psalm 31:1, David puts his trust in the Lord. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. 31:17, let me not be ashamed, O Lord. Psalm 25:20, O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Psalm 34:5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Psalm 119:46, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Psalm 119:116, uphold me according to thy word that I may live, and let me not be ashamed. Psalm 127, 4 and 5, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Blessed, happy is he, is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Isaiah 45:17, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. Not sure, was that read before or not? Good verse. Ye shall not be ashamed, world without end. Isaiah 49:23, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Maybe I could have a raise of hands. Has anyone in here been ashamed that took the time to wait on God? I don't see any hands. When you wait on the Lord, he's going to renew your strength. Amen. And you won't be ashamed when you wait on him. If you rush into something and don't wait on God, good chances you might be ashamed. But if you wait on the Lord, it's just the way to go, brothers. Amen. Wait on the Lord. Do you see the pattern? Do you see the pattern that following God and not being ashamed go together? Following the Lord and having boldness go together. When you follow your own way or turn your heart away from God, it brings shame. It brings regrets. May we follow God. Trusting in God, looking to him, speaking for him, hoping in the Lord, waiting on him, brings confidence, brings a boldness. Pride, wrongdoing, transgressing, making idols, brings shame. Let's look at point number four. Being bold and not ashamed of the gospel. As we go on, I'm getting more excited because we can leave some of this ashamed stuff behind us. And we can focus in on where we want to go. Being bold. A few verses in Joel. You can turn there. Joel chapter 2. He's the one that prophesied of, in the last days, God pouring His Spirit upon all flesh. I can find it here. Joel chapter 2, a few verses. Verse 26. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Which, what a promise. Amen. Which is in the context of following God. You know, if we follow Him, we'll never be ashamed. But that's such a promise. My people shall never be ashamed. Romans, you can turn over there a few verses. Romans chapter 9, verse 33, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. 10 verse 11. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. And that verse is found back in Isaiah 28. It says, Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. Remember that pearl of great price, that hidden treasure? Here it is. A stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth on Him shall not make haste. And I want to uphold Christ today, that pearl of great price. I want all of us to long to be, to acquire this treasure. Couple questions for us. Have you ever experienced being ashamed? I'm sure we have. For one thing or another. You just wish you could just vanish out of the picture. It does not feel good to be ashamed. Things in your life seem to go wrong. You find yourself being ashamed over and over again. Maybe it's not all for committing sin. It might be for not speaking respectfully. Maybe it can be for not being kind to your brother. Maybe not loving your neighbor as yourself. To a degree, that is sin, but it's not like maybe as high a degree. But yet you find yourself being ashamed. You have broken relationships, fallouts with other people. Life seems confusing, mysterious. You can't seem to get along with anyone. Maybe we could consider building upon this sure foundation, this tried and true stone, this precious cornerstone. And I believe, according to the Scripture, he that believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Consider building your life and your future upon this stone that is tried and proven, this precious cornerstone. The promise is, he that believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. If you place your faith and trust in God's promise and continue to do so faithfully, He will always be there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. No matter what kind of hardships you go through, He's the same yesterday, for today, and forever. Let's turn over to Hebrews. I appreciate Brother John sharing out of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." That sounds like boldness. Sounds like someone who has confidence in the Lord. Not confidence in me, not confidence in man, but confidence in the Lord. Let's think about Apostle Paul and some of the things he went through. You know, he was beaten. He was stoned. They actually stoned him and left him for dead. And as the brethren stood around him, he got up and walked back into the city. We think of how he was a night and day out in the deep, out in the sea, probably floating on a piece of wood. And all these things that happened to him. And yet he proclaims, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." You know, how many of us, I believe we have a desire to not be ashamed. But sometimes, if we receive opposition, how do we handle that opposition? Do we just shrivel up in our little shell and cower beneath the enemy? How do we respond when someone disapproves of how you're following God's word? How do we handle that? I believe we should be not ashamed to follow the Bible. Not ashamed. Not with an arrogant heart, not with any bit of pride, but simply a true heart desiring to follow the Lord. And they can say what they want to, but I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to cower beneath this disapproval and think that something's so wrong. It's normal. Jesus said, "If they've hated me, they'll hate you. If they don't receive my words, they're not going to receive yours." So my encouragement is, let's not be ashamed. If we are standing for something that God has in his word, let's not be ashamed. 2 Timothy, why don't we turn over there. Some more words from our brother Paul. 2 Timothy 1. Second Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." What an example. What an encouragement, brothers. Amen. Whatever we need to go through to make it to heaven is worth it. Amen. No matter how many people scorn you, think you're crazy. I mean, Paul suffered physical harm, beatings. And he still said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation." In one place, he even says that through my bonds, more people can come to Christ. What an attitude. What a tremendous example for us. The book of Acts is just loaded. It's just loaded with stories of boldness for Christ. Now we turn over to Acts chapter 4. Have to move on here. Here we have a story of Peter and John commanded not to preach in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 5, Peter and the apostles were commanded not to preach, and they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Their focus was heavenward. Their focus was on God. In Acts chapter 7, we have the story of Stephen. What boldness for Christ. He stood there as the stones are flying, and he said, I see Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. Lord, receive my spirit. He received death for being bold for Christ. In Acts 16, we have Paul and Silas sitting in the prison. They were beaten, their feet were in the stocks, they were singing praises to God. I'm sure that their feelings weren't engaged at first. I'm sure their feelings were not feeling the best. They were hurting, I'm sure, but they chose to set their mind on God and not on their circumstances. And you know the story. God shook the place down. I'm going to read just a few excerpts, stories from the Martyr's Mirror. There's this brother called Leonard Kaiser in 1527. Leonard Kaiser was apprehended and condemned by the bishop and other priests to be burned on Friday before St. Lawrence Day in August of the same year. Having bound him on a cart, they took him to the fire. The priests going alongside and speaking Latin to him, but he, on account of the people, answered them in German, even as they had refused to speak to him in German before the court. When he came out to the field and was approaching the fire, he, bound as he was, leaned down at the side of the cart and plucked a flower with his hand, saying to the judge who rode on the horseback alongside the cart, Lord Judge, here I pluck a flower. If you can burn this flower and me, you have justly condemned me. But on the other hand, if you cannot burn me in this flower, consider what you have done and repent. Thereupon the judge and the three executioners threw an extraordinary quantity of wood on the fire in order to burn him immediately to ashes by the great fire. But when the wood was entirely burned up, his body was taken from the fire uninjured. Then the three executioners and their assailants built another great fire of wood, which, when it was consumed, his body still remained uninjured. Only his hair and his nails were somewhat burnt brown, and the ashes having been removed from his body, the latter was found smooth and clear, and the flower was still in his hand, not withered or burnt in the least. The executioners then cut his body in pieces, which they threw into a new fire. When the wood was burned up, the pieces lay unconsumed in the fire. Finally, they took the pieces and threw them into the river. This judge was so terrified by this occurrence that he resigned his office and moved to another place. His chief servant, who was with the judge and saw and heard all this, came to us in Moravia and became our brother and lived and died a pious life. This brother was unashamed of God. He was unashamed to stand for the Lord. I have one other one I want to read. Here's a brother named Amplius van den Berg in 1569. This Amplius, because he had permitted in the year 15,
56, that the word of God was truly and openly preached in his land, and that he had lodged some of the brethren, had to leave his own house and property and conceal himself and sojourn with other good friends. So severe was the persecution against the Christians, until finally, while walking on the road, he was apprehended. And this only because one who saw him walking said, "There goes the man who was preaching in the land." And though he offered to give to the officer his purse containing 50 pounds, if you would let him go, he would not let him go, but took him and put him in the prison at Courtrai, where he, after a bold confession of his faith, was severely tortured by scourging as well as otherwise. But he would in no wise apostatize from his faith or implicate any of his fellow members. He was finally sentenced to death and burned in the year 1569, thus obtaining a house and inheritance which shall never be taken from him. Is it worth it? Is it worth it, brothers? It's worth it. God hasn't given us the grace at this point, but when that time comes, if he calls us, he's going to give us the grace to go through it. Now let's look at our next point. How can we live unashamed for Christ? How can we do that in our 21st century? We see a lot of backsliding, a lot of slipping going on, a lot of people being ashamed. Maybe we find some shame in our own hearts sometimes. How can we be unashamed for Christ? Practical application. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that's in you, with meekness and fear." Be ready always to give an answer. He doesn't say with self-confidence. He says with meekness and fear. How can we live unashamed? Be ready to give an answer. Be ready when the golden opportunity comes. The golden opportunity will probably be when you're very busy. There'll be plenty of reason to not take the opportunity. That's when it comes. Golden opportunity. Middle of the day of work, and you have a chance to share about the Lord with somebody. How can we live unashamed for Christ? How can we have a ready answer? I think we need to pray. We need to continually ask the Lord to help us to not have shame. Mark 8. You can turn over there, read a few verses. Mark chapter 8. Jesus speaks some very strong words. Verse 34. Mark 8:34. We think maybe our generation is really bad, and it is. We live in a very, very crooked generation. But Jesus said that about his generation too. Mark 8:34, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said to them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall a man profit? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Do we gloss over the words of Christ when it talks about the sin of adultery, when he talks about the things we see blatant in our generation? Are we ashamed to speak out and to say the truth? It doesn't go over very well. But Jesus says, if we are ashamed of him and his words, he will be ashamed of us. May the Lord help us to not be ashamed. And what's worth it to save your short life here? Gain the whole world. What would you rather have, $1 million or your soul saved? It's not even a question for those of us who know the blessedness of Christ. $1 million or your soul. It doesn't even compare. But there's a lot of people selling their soul for a lot less than that. Selling their soul, just like Esau. Sold his birthright for a piece of bread to eat. May God help us. We don't sell out for less than Christ. How can we live unashamed for Christ? There's a story that goes of this young lady that was in high school and won the beauty contest. And as she stood on stage, she was a Christian, she thought, I need to speak for Christ. But as she stood there in front of the group of people, she was dumbfounded. Didn't say anything. Didn't acknowledge him. So she told the Lord, if you help me win it next year, I'll speak for you. Again, stage fright. She didn't open her mouth and speak for God. And it ends up that she falls away from God and gets in the wrong company, gets married to an ungodly man, and her life just disintegrates. But later on, she did repent, and God was able to turn that around. When you are on stage, are you going to be able to share for the Lord? Open your mouth. We cannot in our own strength. We are weak. We cannot bear the scorn, the reproach, the shame by ourselves. We can't do that. We will be ashamed. That's the natural thing that comes. When the pressure's on, and when the heat gets turned up, we can't stand up. But with the strength of God, I believe we can. I want to read just a little excerpt from the Pilgrim's Progress. If you're anywhat familiar with Pilgrim's Progress, it has a lot of really good lessons in there. And we find faithful relating to Christian after they meet up, after the Valley of the Shadow of Death, they meet up. And faithful relates to Christian his experience with this man called Shame. He meets up this man called Shame, and he calls him a bold-faced villain. Bold-faced villain. And this Shame, he was not ashamed to scorn Christianity. He wasn't ashamed to scorn religion. And he says, what a shame that you go to church and listen and get convicted by a sermon. What a shame that you come whining and crying home and repent of your sins. What a shame. He said, you're turning away from your best friends, pride and arrogancy and worldly glory. He said, it's like you're going to lose their company. And he was a sticky old fella, and Faithful could hardly get away from him. And I had to think, you know, sometimes it's shame wants to ride too close behind us. And finally, he just looks at him and he says, shame, depart. What God's word says to be best is best, though all the men of the world don't agree with it. Shame, depart. So, praise God. There's a song that we sing in our hymn book. It says, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend his cause, maintain the honors of his word, the glory of his cross. Firm as his throne, his promise stands, and he can well secure what I've committed to his hands till the decisive hour. Then will he own my worthless name before his Father's face, and in the new Jerusalem appoint for me a place. It's worth it, brothers. It's worth it to not be ashamed of our Lord. What's another way that we can live unashamed? How about ministering to others? Depends who you minister to. People might think, well, what are you up to? We have this brother called Onesiphorus that he ministered to Paul when he had a chain on. He said in 1 Timothy, it says, he refreshed me. He refreshed me, and he was not ashamed of my chain. Are we willing to minister to others? Just lay our lives down for the sake of Christ. How about speaking the truth in love? I think we touched on that a little already. Ephesians 4:15 talks about that. How about study? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm sure some of you can think of more ways that we can live unashamed for Christ. Remain open to your brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes that can bring a little shame. Maybe not because of sin, but because of shortcomings and because of flat spots and blind spots in our own lives. You know, years ago, I remember being talked to by different brothers and just feeling this feeling of, oh my, I blew it again. You know, I just, oh my, feeling some shame because of shortcomings. But I believe that's part of living unashamed for Christ, is being willing to receive exhortation from others. Receive it. Doesn't matter who it's from. And I'll say it doesn't matter how they say it. We need to receive it. It might be harder to receive it depending on how they say it. But I believe we should be able and open to receive it no matter who it is or how they say it. Because that's between them and God. But our response is our responsibility. Even if you have a nasty neighbor that chews you out, like that fellow I told about, God wants to work in our lives by the most nasty neighbor. Amen? He might want to change some of our ways of doing things. Don't box him up and label him. God might want to use him in your life. Some of us know how to run, or the tendency can be to run a labeling and a boxing company. Just stick him in that box, put a label on it, set him on the shelf. Yeah, that's just the way he is. I can't learn anything from him. But, you know, I believe God wants us to be open, to remain open to our brothers and sisters, receive correction, instruction. So maybe I'm in for it next. Okay, let's go to our conclusion. Turn over to 1 Peter. Praise the Lord, I'm encouraged. 1 Peter. Beloved, 1 Peter 4, 12 to 16. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Praise the Lord. If you're reproached because of following God, don't be ashamed. Glorify Him. One last verse, 1 John, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Lord bless you.